G'day, you beautiful cats and dogs. Ed here. Today we're speaking with Andy Schutten. Andy Schutten is an ex-client of mine and a fabulously interesting regular person. It brings me great joy to share with you his extremely, I'm just going to go ahead and use the word enlightened stance on how he lives as a gay man. His personal story is deep and interesting. It does take us both a while to warm up and really get into the deeper stuff. But once we do, it's a beautiful hour and a bit of back and forth. And I sincerely hope you enjoy the heck out of it. Look at me not swearing. Have a good time. Alrighty, welcome back to Gayberhood, the podcast bringing us closer to each other and ourselves, one gay at a time. Today we're meeting with a good friend of mine, Andy Schutten. Howdy neighbour, welcome to Gayberhood.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Thanks for coming. Let's start with some introductions. What are the basic bits of information you want everyone to know about you?
I'm a 55-year-old gay man born in Tasmania. I've worked in tech for 20 years. Then kind of got sick of technology and moved on to events. Got a bit bored with that and decided to become an ICU nurse. A gay man breaking into nursing, just groundbreaking, but that's where I'm loving being.
I thought there were more lesbians in nursing than gay men, or is it a lot of both?
In the specialty areas like emergency and intensive care, there's a lot, it's about an even group, evenly men and women.
Right, and both gay and lesbian?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. But you would say that we're overrepresented in these particular jobs?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's kind of like the theatre.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Now, Andy, what is your special topic? We won't get to it till a bit later, but what is it and why do you care, just briefly?
My special topic, I guess, is the gift that gender fluidity and sexuality fluidity is to the world.
Mm-hmm. Why do you care?
Because I think that the people who are gender fluid are targeted for badness at the moment, but what is on offer there is not just for those people, but for the world. If you actually get to consider what your life is about, and rather than being locked into one thing or the other, but existing as this being that you are. I don't think people often ask the question,
what am I? Especially straight people, right? Or especially people who are feel very cisgender gay, like me, for example. Definitely in the past, in my life, if someone had to come up to me and be like, you don't have to be blue or pink. You don't have to just be boy or girl. Everyone is different. Everyone is unique. And if you've got more interesting stuff going on, it's wanted and welcome. And who are you? We just want to know you and love you. Yeah, that would change your life, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would have found it, like, you know, as a kid growing up in the 70s, I would have found that deeply shocking. I think that we don't, as gay men, we actually have to ask the question, who are we and what are our lives about? Whereas I think straight people tend to live into their lives without actually asking those questions. And I think gender fluidity and sexuality fluidity kind of offer additional perspective on top of that.
Nice. So I look forward to it. Let's begin with your early days gay life story. Sure. When, if ever, did you realize you were different?
I think when I was about 5, I realized that I enjoyed masculine energy and I liked to be around men. And it wasn't so much about, obviously at 5, it wasn't so much about sex as it was about wanting to play cowboys with the boys and being less interested in the girls.
Yeah. And it wasn't just, I love being a cowboy. It was, I like these cowboys while being a cowboy.
Yes, exactly.
I think I get that.
Making a ruckus being a cowboy.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. this thought occurs to me. Was rough play and like wrestling and stuff a thing for you? Did you enjoy that in a gay boy kind of way?
Hell yes.
Oh, you did? Okay. My psychic powers are on today.
Yeah. There's, you know, like just that thing of being smooshed up next to a man or another boy at that age.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you get older, and then you realize that it's actually a part of a sexual thing at some point.
Mm.
But, you know, like when you're 7, 8, it's really just that energetically you want to be with those people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a child's sexuality expressing itself in a child's sexuality kind of way.
Yeah.
Oh, so would you say that you were very, very aware of this, or just in hindsight you are aware of this now?
No, I was very aware of it from the time that I was very young.
Cool.
It wasn't until I was about 9 that I realized that I was the awful thing that people were talking about.
Right. Damn, 4 blessed years of I'm just me.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go and hide because 25 years jail.
Oh yeah.
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 Even though nobody went to jail in the time that I grew up, it was definitely used and it shaped how people talked about the poofters.
Yes. Much like today, you know, we don't have to get married to affect change. The fact that we can get married is affecting the change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. I think that not just the acceptance of us or not just the tolerating us, but or putting up with us, but the insistence that we are not broken. We are actually an evolutionary adaptation. Ooh. That suits the species.
Okay. All right. All right. We might get into some evolutionary biology and science today. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
when did you – well, do you label yourself as a gay man today?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yeah. Very comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, you just answered the question. So, it was 9 when you realized that you were the monster, the gay label.
Yeah, that was quite upsetting.
Mm. Tell me more. That's the next question.
Yeah. Okay. So the boy Paul, the boy next door, and I used to hide in the cubby house and orally gratify each other.
Okay.
At the age of 8.
Yep.
And then his sisters found out about it, and we were in trouble.
Okay. What happened?
We were told not to.
Oh, just like literally don't do that.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. Not that you're going to hell. We weren't a religious family, but like I'm mocking from the sisters and like don't do that from both sets of parents.
Oh, okay. And then did it get brought up again, or like did your parents this have ramifications? Or?
We just hid it and kept on doing it.
Oh, wow. All right. Oh, cool.
And it was... I think they thought that it had stopped, and look, at some point it did stop because it's not clear that he was gay. We just couldn't reach our dicks.
What?
We just couldn't reach our own dicks with our own mouths.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Jeez.
It's just pretty a practicality wild. Kind of thing, right?
Fair enough. It's not unheard of. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know if he's gay today or not?
Got married to a woman, what, who does that?
Only fools, yeah. No, all sorts of people get married to women. So, strong indication, probably straight, but we don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Could be bi.
Straight, living a straight life.
Yeah, sure. Could be bi. Could be living a bi life.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Who knows what he does? That's his life.
Did you crush on him? Did you like him?
No.
No?
No. I liked what we did together.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you have a first crush? Did you have someone you were smitten with? Oh, tell us more. Who is this?
Of course, it was the gym teacher. That's such a surprise.
Wow. Oh,
it was just perfect. Like,
Teachers are always these men that were introduced in a kind of, well, hopefully, an innocent way, and they're always wearing sporty clothing, being athletic, and they're generally fit, and you usually see a lot of their body.
Yeah, built and hot and, you know, like thick thighs save lives.
Right.
Like, even at the age of 12.
You had no chance.
When you're looking at that, yeah, no. It's like, damn, son. As it turns out, no. He was in a relationship with another one of the teachers. So that was, and not a male teacher. So, you know, that's just incredibly disappointing.
Damn. Did you, but wait, so you crushed on the teacher?
Yeah, every time I would see him, like in gym class, like I would have to not look at him while he was talking because
you're blushing too hard.
Yeah, and aww, like, and the kind of living in constant fear of having an erection in the change rooms.
Oh,
no.
Wow, you're quite an excitable young man, weren't you?
I've always been pretty busy.
Pretty switched on, pretty strong flame.
Yeah.
A high voltage spark.
Yeah, that's a nice way to say constantly horny, sure.
Right, yeah, gotcha. Cool. Yeah. Good for you. Love the honesty. Yeah. All right. So would you say you were a little gay boy? And are you a big gay boy today? What does that mean to you? Do you agree? How do you feel?
Right. A little gay boy, did I like the look of men? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Did I, once I realized that I was the monster, I did everything I could to try and hide anything that looked like an effeminate side.
Yeah.
I changed the way that I presented so that I wouldn't get beaten up or singled out or, yeah.
Successfully?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think successfully, but like, To the extent that I got through school without being attacked, bashed, or beaten up, but I don't know successfully, like if you have to hide yourself in that, is that successful?
Andy, this is too easy. You should run the podcast. yeah, obviously there's flow-on effects of the self-denial. I won't go on a coaching rant just now, but good point. Very good point. You were able to hide your feminine qualities sufficiently to avoid persecution, rejection, harm, harassment. But what long-term effects did that have for you? Maybe it'll come up.
Yeah, I mean, we're not shaped by the easy things in our lives.
Mm.
So, I mean, we'll talk more about that later, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. You know, Andy, actually, this isn't in the script, but are you kind of a spiritual guy? And what does that mean to you?
Not really. I think that when religion was the thing that was the kind of where the information about you are an outcast came from.
Yep.
I then, of course, I'll reject you before you can reject me.
Yes.
And like cast away all spiritual anything.
Yep.
And I think that in doing so, missed out on just engaging in that question.
Yep. 100%. That's my story too. 100%. Yeah. What about today? Considering the work that, because, you know, you're an ex-client that we've done together and you really enjoyed the book, The Power of Now. And the comment you made before is why I asked the question. You're kind of a, you know, there's these new words like holistic or, you know, are you spiritual today? What? How do you define that?
Spiritual, like I unfortunately connect spiritual with religious, and it's hard to define.
Still but stuck together.
Look, separating it out, I think that we are made up. We are living in the middle of an explosion, and we are existing for an incredibly small amount of time on the time scale. When you look at the universe existing, where it's absolutely almost infinitesimally small.
Yep.
And when we die, the bits that make us go back to the explosion. And for this very small amount of time, we're parts of the explosion that can talk about itself. And here we are.
Yeah.
So that to me is amazing.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. I love how that description both fits the word spiritual and doesn't necessarily have to fit the word spiritual either. To me, it always comes back to this like measurability, and it's very difficult to measure what you said, even though it could be formed into a scientific hypothesis. We could be being very, very rational, or we could be being very, very spiritual, but it's gray because we can't measure it.
Yeah. I mean, another example I like to use is, you know, if you look down at your wrist, you can see there's a vein there. And the reason that vein is that color is because there's iron in there. And the iron comes from the only place that iron comes from is the center of an explosion of a star.
Oh.
That's how you know that you're from a star.
Yay, we're born from stars. I love these kind of these beautiful like quotes that float around social media. They're actually based in science.
So am I part of that? Yeah, absolutely, I'm part of that.
Yeah,
and everybody, I find it. It's miraculous that we can speak right now.
Yeah, like here we go.
Now
you're giving me the answers that I was probing for with the question, because these are uncommon conversations, in my opinion, but they're very real, and I think they really matter, and I think we could all stand to hear about it and talk about it a little bit more. So thanks for sharing your unique point of view.
Thank you. I think that, like, where I live from now is be brave, be kind, and try not to be cowardly. And I think that, like, this is inspired by Doctor Who.
I was thinking Stoicism, but sure, Doctor Who, tell me more.
Doctor Who is always about be brave, be kind, be brave, but and never cowardly.
Right.
The kind of the thing that keeps on coming out of all those stories.
Does he say and that word for word?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the guy who writes that is a gay guy.
Right.
Russell T. Davis.
Huh.
He's inserted non-binary characters and gay characters into that TV show over the last 20, 30 years.
Oh.
He's amazing. Amazing guy. He's my hero.
It has a different director every season and every episode, but the writing has been consistent for 30 years?
So he's kind of gone away, come back, and then this year that he's come back for the 60th anniversary, he's writing it all again.
Wow. I know are they called Whovians? There's a big following,
I've never called myself that, but that show has been in my life since I was born.
Yeah.
Like 1966, the show started. I was born in 1967.
Mm. Nice. Maybe we should have given you two special topics. Bring it up again if it comes up again.
Okay.
Is there gay stuff in your life, gay stuff, gay community that you love or really, really like? Do you have a really positive queer anything going on?
I feel like I've done every gay thing there is to do.
Ooh. What do you mean by that?
Well, I've run gay parties. I campaigned for gay marriage.
Right.
I've been involved in many organizations that are about either supporting gay people or fighting for gay rights for gay people, giving us a safe place to play, have fun, get together. So I feel like large parts of my life and my headspace have been dedicated to that. And at the moment, I feel like I'm more just enjoying it from the sidelines.
While being gay.
Yeah. I'm as gay as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Are you in gayer a relationship? Than Christmas. Gayer than Christmas.
Yeah. Right.
There you go. I don't know that I am gayer than Christmas, but I'm also as gay as it gets, though. But Christmas just has an edge on me, but doesn't. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Sure. Are you in a relationship?
No, I am not. No. I was in one for 13 years, but am no longer.
Okay. How's that going for you?
I used to worry about not being in a relationship after being in one for so long. And now I'm kind of either way about it. I enjoy if I were to, you have that background thought of, oh, it'd be really nice to be in a relationship. And then when you actually look at what that means from a logistical perspective and all the things that go with it, I'm not sure.
You'd have to have Mr. Right would have to come along and make a convincing proposition, and you would have to gradually, slowly melt into each other's lives at this point, if it were to occur.
I'd be up for it as long as we didn't have to cohabit.
Right.
So, like, I work nights and day shifts and night shifts, but the nights are pretty hefty. If somebody woke me up in the middle of my sleep during the day, I would murder them.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a nice way.
So you are open to a relationship. There's just a couple of big caveats because of your work.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. With great love comes great risk.
Yes.
But I'm up for the risk.
Nice. That seems like a very healed, healthy position to be in. It must be nice.
Yeah. Like I feel at ease with myself in either in or out of a relationship.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice. That, I'm so glad. Can I just gloat for a second? we did some powerful and important work together. And when I hear people say things like that, I just go, fuck yeah. Like, this person is in a good place. This is the place most people aspire to be. And I think when the audience hears you say something like that, I think a lot of them are going to go, damn, I wish I felt that way. What's your secret? How did you become so well? And don't just say me, because I know the answer is not just
Brown
me.
BrownBearCoaching.com.
Thank you. But it can't just be me. Tell me, what informs your point of view? How do you feel? Or tell us, how do you achieve this as a gay man? There's a lot of gay men who aren't achieving this. What's special about you? What did you do? What did you learn? What did you realize?
I guess what I... So... That's a really tricky question.
It is. It's a big one.
And I realize that, and I'm good for it. I think that, like I said before, like I said earlier, I don't think we're shaped by the easy things that happen in our lives. But when I finally got to the point where I'm like, you know what, I have value in this no matter what. I have a value that nobody else can alter. My idea about, I don't know how else to describe it. Sorry.
If people were to insult you and say you're a disgusting faggot, some part of you would understand. No.
I would feel bad for them.
Right. Your opinions don't measure my worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So your personal sense of your worth and value, goodness and wholeness is independent of anybody's flippant comments, reviews, opinions, behavior, interactions. You feel untouchable as a result.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, and I not in an arrogant way.
No.
But like that's you. You're there, and I'm here, and you can say whatever you like, and that's fine. Mm. And I don't. And I'm not upset by it.
Well,
I would like that. I would like people to think, use their brains more, and maybe be more kind and be more brave.
Yeah.
And that's for me to be brave and kind is the important thing.
Is your job your responsibility, and you'll leave it up to them to achieve and do the same thing?
I can't do anything about what you're saying to me.
Yep. Well, I can not react. Very much.
No, I can press hang up, but I can, like, yeah. I can react to you, and that's the thing I have control over.
Yes.
That's the most important bit.
When did you learn that, or when did you realize that?
I think when did I learn that?
Have you had a long self-help journey or like Buddhism or Stoicism or psychology or?
I think when I've had experienced some difficulties in my life.
Yes.
And when you have to question every part of your life. So, look, I had a partner who committed suicide.
Mm.
And we'd been together for 13 years, it was the only time in my life that I'd ever not been able to control the situation. And I felt like everything in my life was up for grabs.
Yeah.
And when you have to reconsider everything from scratch, it brings into focus what matters to you and who you are.
Mm. And also, it sounds like it brought in things into question that previously were not up for questioning. Like you said, this was a situation for the first time in my life that was beyond my control.
Yes.
Which is funny, because I bet today you would have said, I'm not actually in control of many of the things that have ever happened to me or even now.
Control is a mirage.
Right. So that's a learning and a journey. You got exploded by what happened to you. And that caused a transformative journey.
Yeah. like, and when, so when you, everything's up in the air, then you start to pick through it all in quite some detail.
Yeah.
And the idea, like you said, that idea of control is, it's a fool's errand.
Yes.
It just does. It's just not a thing.
Thank you for sharing. I'd just like to highlight how profound it is that if someone out there is going through something extremely difficult, it might be one of the most meaningful and beautiful things that has ever happened to you in hindsight, in due course. Or it's like going to a funeral where you cry your eyes out and you're like, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. But then people go, oh, it's negative. It's sad. Doesn't that make it bad? No. Perhaps there's a way of looking at these things that says these are extremely important, meaningful experiences that are part of the tapestry of life.
Well, yeah, I think living through the HIV epidemic in the 90s and then living through that event, both of those things have made me incredibly strong. I wish they hadn't happened, and they've made me strong and capable.
An extremely deep question occurs to me, and I don't know if we want to tackle it, but like,
give it a go.
Do you really wish that it didn't happen? Because if you say no, it means you were happy that all these like innocent men died to a virus that was explosively contagious and destructive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why it's almost an impossible question. But
yeah,
you are living proof that the adversity, the challenge, the devastation, the destruction had maybe it's only a silver lining, or maybe it's more than that.
It's a really hard, you know, to put my quality of life on the line for everybody else's suffering and death is a tricky thing to line up with.
Yeah, but yes, and say coronavirus, for example, right? A lot of people, so a lot of people died, a lot of people suffered, a lot of people would have gone through extreme adversity and job change, or they were really struggling by themselves, but that experience of itself kicked off something important, powerful, big. So perhaps rather than the way I phrased the question, are you sure it was a good or bad thing? Do you want it to happen or do you not? Perhaps it's just good enough to realize we don't have to judge this event or any event as good or bad. It is what it was. What did we get from it? What did we lose?
Yeah.
Who and how are we?
The bit that we control is how we react to it. Right. And so each time something like that happens, that challenges us, we get to choose. And each time we get to learn if we want.
Yeah, what there is to learn or grow from.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. If anyone out there is experiencing repeated self-defeating behaviors in sabotaging relationships, you are right in the firing line for that one. Are you willing to learn and grow from the experiences that you're having, or are you denying them, shoving them away, and refusing to look with clear eyes at what's going on within and around you?
And I spent a lot of time like denying, just trying to find ways to not experience pain, suffering, difficulty. Ultimately, you just got to get to it. It's just a matter of how long you want to go at that before you finally just go, okay, enough.
Yeah, I'm willing to face reality just as it is. I don't like this boogeyman that is being created in my head because I'm turning away from the pain and difficulty.
Yeah, because it's coming to get you anyway.
Yes.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I talked to people about get robbed today. If you knew you were going to get robbed at some random time in the next 30 days, but you have the option to just walk downstairs right now and say, please come inside, take what you're going to take, rob me now.
Yes.
I also want to put out a little message. Not everyone's ready to do that. And that's okay. Right. Everyone has their time and place. And if you're not ready, you can't face things. No one says you have to. God hasn't come out of the clouds and said to me, this is how things must be. I would encourage anyone who can't face their demons right now, can't face the difficulty, hasn't gotten over XYZ, you don't have to do it straight away. And just because me and Andy here are all well-adjusted, healthy, happy, self-loving people, that is neither good nor bad in a sense. And it's neither good nor bad that you are where you are. You just are.
And that's okay if it's worth it. Just from me to you, whoever you are, it's okay to be where you are.
And you have a you have a choice about it. That's the only thing that I would say is there's a choice.
It is
and,
true.
And a choice to continue in whatever you're doing now is absolutely valid, as is I want to do something different.
Yes. And as soon as you can find when it is good in time and ready and it feels right for you, you know, on behalf of you, Andy, we both encourage you, find your personal courage and say, I want to be in charge of my life. I want to try to the best extent to control my reactions to events and conduct myself as the person that I wish to be.
Yeah, because you're only here for a very, very, very short time.
Yeah, what else are we doing? It all seems so serious and important. And then when you zoom out a couple of million years, you're like, oh, yeah, whoa.
Yeah.
And then there's the fun aspect of that when you go, what if I'm just an anonymous ant at an insignificant junction of history? That makes you really free. You can do whatever you want. You could become a bouncy castle ergonomics designer in this lifetime. That sounds cool. And then you could, I mean, silicon lube has already been invented, but some combination of those two things. Let's invent some new playground.
That's a lot of cleaning up.
It's probably terrible for the environment.
Oh, no.
Sounds like a lot of fun, though. Adult playgrounds. We should get onto this.
Yeah, okay. Let's get squishy.
Oh, you love that. We'll have to read out the rules of consent and like just have some ground rules for everybody. All right, cool. So we've done a lot. Thank you. I love to talk about deep and human things and gay shame in particular in this segment.
Sorry, my dog's just making noises.
Oh, it's quite all right. What's his name or her name?
Buzz.
Hey, Buzz.
Okay, like stop it. Okay, but sorry about that.
They're fine. Let it happen. People know what's all right. Up. Sure. So gay shame and our gay shame can be uncomfortable or difficult. I think it's extremely natural, extremely important. So without disclosing anything you don't want to, do you harbor shame today?
No, absolutely not.
Not even for a moment. Healthy shame?
Healthy shame?
Yeah, don't stick your dick out the window right now because that's maybe not.
That's not shame. That's just manners.
Oh.
It's not shame that has me do that.
Okay.
Like I live in a society where that would do bad things to people. That's not. I don't think that's kind.
Fair enough. No shame. All right. I will continue to keep that in mind.
So shame is the thing to me. Shame is the thing that you can't talk about. Shame is the thing that when you put light on it, and if you've listened to any of Brené Brown stuff,
yes.
The moment that you say the thing, it is no longer shame.
Yes. You got to open the windows, let the wind in, the light in. Yeah. Shame dies in the light of day.
Yeah. And like I've done things when I think back on now, I am ashamed that I feel shame.
Yes.
When I've been unkind to somebody, when I haven't been brave, when I've been cowardly.
Yep.
For my own, in order to maintain my own, not just safety, but like just for my own needs rather than considering the other.
Your own advantage or your own egoic reasons.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I can't change those things because they're in the past. And when I think of them, they make me go, ugh. But as far as gay shame is concerned, no, I don't have that.
Brilliant. So you'd say, I've started saying this to clients, you've scraped the bottom of your barrel and there's nothing left to scoop. You've chased down every demon. It's radical, isn't it? Isn't it fucking radical? Yeah. This shit really stokes my fires because this is the gay journey. We were loaded up, piled on, tripled down with every straw was on our camel's back. Good analogy, Ed. Well said.
carrying a full load.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, my God. So many loads on our backs. So many loads. And we were so young. Okay, but shame. Gay shame. Yeah sure. So this is our journey. Like, our barrels are fucking full until they're not. And you've got to... With appropriate time, space, effort, you got to go on that journey or you won't feel the freedom and okayness that is available once you do.
And then it will never be the same.
Yeah.
That's like once, like having learned how to deal with that and how to live through that,
mm.
it's no longer like shame is no longer on offer from somebody else to me.
Mm.
Like it's not like, and you know, we talked earlier about when somebody says, oh, you're dirty puffed or you don't, like, that's not.
Yeah.
That's not my shame. That's me feeling bad for them because I think, oh, that's a sad life.
Yes. Anyone that would act out that way to attempt to hurt you obviously has something going on. They probably got a bit of shame.
Probably gay.
Yeah. It could be. Could well be. And it would be because they're acting out of their shame, their internal disagreements with themselves, and that's not our responsibility or our job.
Absolutely.
We can leave it with them.
Yeah.
And that is a very... freeing notion. If someone has a problem with you, but you are acting with integrity and what we might call good character, it's their problem, not yours.
The lightness that comes from that after living a life weighed down by that load.
Yes.
It's extreme. Is beautiful.
Yes.
Like every day you walk out into the world, look up into the sky, and there's this just delight at being alive.
Stop it. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I get nervous. I actually get nervous because I think people are going to listen to this and be like, these guys are airy fairy claptrap bullshit. But no, it's actually extremely real.
But also, I don't care what they think.
Yeah, maybe I still do.
Well, check with the leader. Maybe the leader will let you know.
Oh, the great leader that we've both subscribed to, who sends us our mission and orders. Do hand signs. Say the special word. Take off all your clothes.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Is that a cult reference? How is that? Oh, because right? You've been mind controlled.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. All righty. Hang on. There was something just a bit back, just a sec.
The ecstasy of being alive and the unburdening of shame.
Ah, yes, thank you. This is the greatest gift that I think our divergent from straight sexuality has to offer us. Once we actually do this, we are extremely powerful.
It's a superpower.
Yes.
Like we've got more tools at our disposal than anybody who hasn't been through that experience.
Or similar.
Yeah.
Because there are similar, people, you know, refugees, all kinds of people. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you're still out there and you haven't done your work yet, here is my plug for myself. Proudbearcoaching.com. I would love to meet you and help you if you feel ready. Thank you. So that's your relationship to shamey stuff. Very nice. Mm. It was different in the past. How do you rate your life out of 10 these days?
10.
10? Why? 10. How do you come to that number?
On my life is lived on my terms, doing what I want.
Mm.
I want as many different experiences as I can have in my life in the time allotted in this very short life that I have.
Nice. If you were arrested tomorrow against your will and you were framed for some reason, it was completely beyond your control. Interpol's just like, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And you get put in Australian jail for the next, well, you don't know this, but you're just in jail a week from now.
Right.
How would you handle that, considering you're a 10 today, but you're in prison a week from now? What would your approach be?
My concern would be for my physical safety initially, putting that aside.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter where I am.
This is the answer I was hoping to explore with you. Yeah. I agree. I'm not in jail, so I don't know. I haven't had cancer, so I don't know what I would do with a near-death experience.
Mm.
But could you still achieve 10? Your mission would be the same, right? I still want to have every experience that I can possibly have that feels right for me within the limited time that is allotted to me. And I want to preserve my good character and be the person who I am and I want to be, who are the same person.
Yeah.
So you could still be a 10 in prison against your will. This is the power of self-development, and like these are superpowers. I just want them for everybody. Get them.
Well, yeah, I think if more people had that kind of perspective, it'd be an easier world to be in for everybody and more fun.
I 100% agree with you. Some part of me can't even believe that it's possible. We're so far from there today that I go,
maybe on an individual level, this is fine and good, and people can find this place that me and you are talking about. But on a macro level, is it even possible? Has it happened before? Is it sustainable? Do you just get crushed by the neighboring militaristic power that's like, well, we built more tanks than you and you were busy having sex and laughing, so. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On a group level, is it sustainable? I don't know. Is this the great experiment?
I think there are algorithms and organizations designed to have us think that it's not possible.
Ooh.
We're meant to be – those algorithms and organizations want us unhappy.
This sounds like that book, Manufacturing Consent, and that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I haven't.
What are you alluding to? What are you –
if you look at the algorithms that social media algorithms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, older YouTube,
yep,
TikTok,
yep,
they're not designed for people to be happy with their lives.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that this was the intent of the creators, though. I think like they created a beast not knowing. Or do you think they did? This is intentionally designed.
I think there's a degree. It may not be intentionally designed, but that's where those AIs have now gone, because it generates more traffic.
Yeah, the reactive, blowing shit up. You get that news article. It's not, Jane crashed her car. How sad. It's this tire company failed to do this, and so these people are angry. But these people say it's good. So that was a terrible description.
Is what you're having for dinner going to kill you? Find out at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Much better. Okay. Yeah. And so this is leading us to form a conclusion that life is darker than it truly is, or things are less possible than they truly are.
I think they're leading to that. And a sad populace is a quiet populace.
Mm.
And if you're feeling that your life is a 10, you're probably going to be a bit noisier about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't suit governments. It doesn't suit large organizations who are trying to sell you stuff. You have to be unhappy. You need to be unhappy.
Yep.
I'm not saying that.
I don't think someone got up one day and said, "Let's create the unhappiness machine." I think this is the result of many, many years of attempting to follow through on the capitalist mantra. I'm not anti-capitalist, but the result of unfettered capitalism and constant greed has created these machines that are highly effective at making money. They're also highly effective at making us sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have the wherewithal to also make us happy, and we're choosing not.
Yeah,
against our better nature
because we don't know better.
Yeah, against our better nature, we kind of work against ourselves.
Mm.
It's very easy to get
tricked into that by the machines, the systems.
Yeah, I think you use Instagram, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. How many times have you been on Instagram and then suddenly gone, "Oh, hang on a second, half an hour has passed"?
Actually, so I got to change my answer a little bit. I'm actually I don't know if this is whatever this is. This is the truth. I'm not on there for personal reasons. I'm purely on there for business reasons. And I frequently open it going, what is it that people see in this? Where's the fun bit? So I look up like sexy dude cartoons. I like that kind of thing. I look up things I like. I try to curate a feed that I like. But then these crappy ads come through and I'm just like, this experience sucks. And I constantly am putting my phone down and wishing I didn't have to be on the socials.
Right, okay.
But I do to make the business happen, and it does work.
That's the annoying part.
I'm in a funny spot. Yeah. If I could make Brown Bear Coaching and the Brown Bear Empire work without socials, I would. I don't know how. I haven't tried very much. I don't know.
And that the world has changed in our lifetime, and that's how it's going to
be. That's part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that we all grow up and the technology also grows up so that more of what me and you would hope to see comes true.
Mm. Yeah.
Hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. Do you obviously us just jamming is a bit of a message to the gays out there. Is there anything else that you would like to say to the gays out there, put out into the world?
can we talk about gender fluidity?
Oh, my God. Did I completely skip it? Shit. Yeah. I did. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's do it.
We kind of talked about it a bit, but.
Right. Yeah. Let's go to your message and make it your special topic as well.
Okay. Look, I think that when the idea of gender fluidity, having grown up in a time where gender fluidity was not a thing, I was never given the option to question what parts about me that are feminine, what parts about me that are masculine were of value.
Yep.
I just took all the things that were feminine and put them in a bucket that suggested they weren't of value.
Yep.
I think that that people living gender fluid lives now, that's not just to their benefit, it's to the benefit of the world. If everybody actually got a chance to think about who they were and what their life was about and how in which parts of them had value, if people actually took the time to think about it rather than just living into the heteronormative.
Yeah. If we were shown or helped to feel free enough to question everything on an even footing.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
In other words, remove judgment.
Yeah. So this is a gift to the world, right?
Yeah.
Like the gift of fresh perspective, to quote Ratatouille, is the most amazing gift. And the gift of what is it, who am I, and inquiring into that, and having gender be something that was up for grabs rather than defined by somebody outside your own head.
Yep.
That perspective would be an amazing gift.
Mm. And an example that everyone could be free to discover, let's say, their truth, whether it's gender or sexuality or something else.
Yeah.
Without this overriding conformity and expectations and norms that constrict us, restrict us, limit us.
Well, and binary doesn't actually exist. Binary exists as a thing in our heads. It doesn't exist as a reality.
Yeah. So even on the scientific level, right, there are multiple different expressions of gender through the way I'm going to get all the words wrong. You ready? Genotypes and phenotypes and gene expression and what's on and what's off, as well as the chromosomes themselves. There's X and Y and XX and XY. But there's also other combinations.
Yes.
X, Y, Y, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And there's things like androgen insensitivity syndrome, where no matter how much testosterone is flowing through you, that it doesn't get received as that in your brain.
Right.
There's a plethora of different versions of this in people that exist that we're unaware of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. That the general populace is unaware of, and we think that it's man or woman. That's it.
Yeah. And it's not.
Yeah, it's just not.
Thankfully, you know, we queers are a bit more exposed to this, but it does bear repeating and it bears exploring. Why the hell would all these gender diverse queer people be banging this drum or complaining if they were just a man or just a woman? Then in the way that many, many, many people are comfortable with their gender and sexual expression, which may be less than we think, but still some people are very comfortable. Everyone would be comfortable, wouldn't they? Why would we be kicking up a stink saying, I love men, if it wasn't true? Right. Why would we be saying, I don't feel quite like what we call a man, if it wasn't true?
Yeah, what is a good man?
As well as what is a man?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what is a good man? That's a better question, actually. Do you want to explore that a bit?
What is it? Am I a good man?
Yeah,
that's the question I ask myself. Am I a good man?
Yeah, are you?
I do my best.
Are you a man? What is a man?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, now we're getting very specific. I live my life as a man.
Yeah.
I see myself as a man.
Use the word man.
Man, man, man.
Mm. Yeah. You're a man, man. Me too, man.
I think that we... So the fluidity of gender, and then to take that to the fluidity, like you were saying that the queers or the gays have the gift of having that that fresh perspective. But then we kind of lock ourselves into, are you the bottom? Are you the top? Because I'm the top, that means I look dumb. Like this. Yeah. Because I'm like
capital T top and capital B bottom. Calm down.
Exhausting.
Yeah. We're trying to explore and define ourselves with a shorthand, right? But it's not. We just need to know it's only shorthand.
Right. And we're trying to slot ourselves into standards defined by the other, rather. So it's external locus of control. So heteronormative idea. Are you the man or the woman? How many times have you been asked that in a relationship?
Yeah, not for many years, but
are you the man or the woman? Actually, we're both men. That's why we're in this relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that the idea, suggesting that the bottom is the female role, that's ridiculous.
Mm.
And then the bottom shaming that goes with that, like I'm not, it feels like we rush to that.
Are you alluding to how we gay men and queer people that we're already saturated in norms, behaviors, expectations that we will also, correlate, because we do, right? Unconscious bias is very real.
We rush to that. Yeah. But I think that's a human thing.
Yeah.
Like people, we're looking for something simple in order to find someone like us or find someone different or find someone safe we go for binary rather than fluid because it's quick and easy.
Quick and easy, top bottom, quick and easy. It's a shorthand. Don't limit yourself, don't let anything limit you.
And while we're there, just the idea that, for instance, why is it always, we're directed by porn, so when you're having sex with somebody, they do what they see in the porn now.
Mm-hmm.
As a top, I like having my ass eaten as a specific.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see that in the porn. In the porn, the guy who's having who's being rimmed is being rimmed in order to get fucked.
Yep. So I guess
limiting.
Yes. That's the final message on all of this, right? We could look at 10,000 different examples, but it could easily be summed up as, don't let anyone else's life define the limits of yours. You don't need to conform. If you feel scared about that, fine, feel scared, but it doesn't change the truth. Your life is not, your life and your life experience and your personhood is not defined or controlled by the norms and expectations of other people. It might be harder to understand who and how you are and what you want if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah.
Like, for example, puppy players and those kinksters who like to wear pup hoods. Mm. I imagine if that's your jam and you find it, you're like, oh my God, it's been unlocked. I am born as the puppy
achievement
man.
Achievement unlocked.
Right. Kink unlocked. I'm sure that's a real thing. So there's a certain amount of, it helps us to know who we are to have examples. And that's why, shameless self-promotion, A Gay Man has so much gay art in it, www.agaymanbook.com. Because... yeah, helping us and seeing it and feeling it helps us to understand ourselves more easily. But yeah, the message was,
representation matters. Like if you don't see yourself, like I grew up not seeing myself.
Yes.
On the screen, on the small screen, on the anywhere until I was about 30.
Yeah.
And I just cried when I saw it. It was like,
what
my
did
God.
You see? What was your thing that you felt seen by?
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, brilliant. Nice.
Like, instead of the gay man as the tragic or the comedic comedy relief.
The camp gay man.
Yeah, like somehow that's acceptable.
This was the camping gay man.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, oh my God, it was the first time I'd watched a movie and saw it and thought I didn't have to code switch watching it.
Right.
And I didn't realize my whole life that I had been doing that.
Right.
And the relief that came with not having to do that was overwhelming.
Oh, did you find yourself, like, what are the words, gabbing with the Marys at the gay bar because you felt that's what you had to do?
Yeah.
But then once you saw Brokeback Mountain, you're like, oh, I'm just going to be the man that I feel that I am.
I don't know if I gabbed with the Marys.
Is it gabbing? Marys. Oh, God. See, this is how old and I'm so... Am I good enough? Am I gay enough? Mary is the, like, Friends of Dorothy and Mary's, like, Mary, these are shorthands for gay men, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, this high, so until you saw Brokeback Mountain, it this campy gayness you felt you had to subscribe to?
Well, no, I just saw it and thought, that's not me. Like, those people aren't me. Where am I in this?
And it wasn't until you saw Brokeback Mountain that you go, oh, cool. There's another one.
You see yourself and you go, oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. That's for me. That's what I've been wanting to do since I was 5, is play cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Full circle. It is a... I wonder what this feels like for other people, but I am vibing so hard on what you're saying, in that I didn't see me or my love or my horniness in many things for the longest time. And again, that's why a gay man is done in cartoons, because I did see artistic representations of rough, sexy men, gay men in art. And I was like, oh, it was like electric. I was like, oh, there's my feelings.
Like Tom of Finland?
No. It was more like furry stuff.
Okay, sure.
I'm still slightly embarrassed about it. I really liked the ones that have kind of animal heads but almost entirely human bodies.
Right.
So I don't get too weird or wonderful, and there's a lot of weird and wonderful in that community. No shame, but it's just not really me. But when there were rough dudes, you know, these are fantasy depictions and stuff. I'm not really into violence or rape or anything, but there were scenes. I remember one that was called Strawberries and Cream, and it was this dude who'd been like punched, and they're all just like fit, hunky dudes, and that kind of turns me on. That's kind of my jam. And one had been like held down, punched into submission, and then basically used. But as a fantasy, when you can just disconnect that appropriately from reality, I was like, fuck, that's some rough ass shit. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling something inside of me that's very real. And it helped me to feel and understand myself. Doesn't mean I go around punching or raping anybody. But that kind of rough ass shit, like, that's not what I understood gay to be when I was 14, 15.
No. I mean, for instance, wrestling.
Mm.
Like, that's like, it's rough and tumble. It's not rough, but it's sanctioned roughness.
Yes.
Whereas that stuff that you're talking about, I'm not sure how this I concur with you.
Oh, it works for you? Like, it,
yeah, like
it hits,
I see
something
that stuff
real?
And it just makes me hard as fuck.
All right. Yeah. There's something inside of us. I don't think we need to be ashamed of it, and I'm sure you'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit us up, dear listeners. You can email us or send us on Instagram. What's something that, like, sparked or hit something inside of you that made you go, oh, I have a one of these, or I'm interested in this? It's fun.
I mean, imagine what it would be like now for a 14-year-old boy to see something like Red, White, and Royal Blue, or
very different.
What's the other one? Yeah, like when you see yourself and don't have to do the switching and all that. Like at 14, like, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to have the effect that we kind of hope it has. In terms of, I still think the gay shame is extremely real. So there's still going to be a battle and a journey and a process. It might not, it won't look like ours exactly, but it will still be a thing, I think, for a while yet. And then this comes back to the whole, are we actually glad that will we actually reverse AIDS and prevent it from happening if we ever could have? Because is that journey ultimately going to forge this young man into who he truly is, and is that an admirable, worthwhile outcome that's worth the cost? These are unanswerable questions, but
yes,
my mind does go there.
Yeah, it is like I have said a couple of times through this, like, we're not shaped by the easy things in our lives.
No.
And the shape of me, I love the shape of me.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right.
And what got me here was a series of shocking things that don't happen to people normally.
And you wouldn't wish on anybody.
No.
Except for yourself, you look at it and you go, oh, I'm glad.
I'm a fucking badass. Like, you know, like.
Right. So maybe, yep, that's it. That's the poignant part of that problem, conundrum, question.
Yeah.
Maybe we're solving all the gay issues and preventing, you know, gay growth for the future, gay accomplishments, self-acceptance, radical self-acceptance through the adversity that yet you have to face.
I think when we were doing events, when I was doing events, but opening up spaces that weren't gay spaces and making them gay spaces for short periods of time, and safe places for gay people to play. If that's no longer needed, when people feel that's no longer needed, I think they not piss it away, but they
take it for granted.
They take it for granted and don't understand the value of it.
Yeah.
They don't have to. That's the thing. You know, they live in a different time.
Yep.
But I think that there's stuff that we give away without even knowing that we're giving it away.
Yes. I also think as much as we like to lament and wax lyrical about our problems and our struggles and the unfairness, we're actually already a lot more free than a lot of our straight counterparts.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. The freedom, we get the freedom, and the freedom comes with the work.
So just one more time. You can't necessarily not wish difficult things on people. You know, we can't necessarily solve them all. This is the conundrum of the parent and the child, isn't it? But we're just doing it on behalf of other people as if they're our children, the future children, or they're not ours. Are you ready for the zany question round?
Sure.
Oh, but just before we begin, thank you. That was fucking sensational. I really enjoyed that.
Been fun.
All right. Zany questions.
Yeah.
Do you like coffee?
Yes.
Do you like anal sex?
Yes.
Oh, wait, did I do this one last time or have I copy-pasted them? I've copy-pasted them.
Did you copy-paste my answers?
No. I've pasted over section two with section one. I used to have two different sections.
You've got zany questions secret.
Yeah. That's your notes. Right. On my side, I have the questions here. And what I've done is pasted section one over section two. So now I only have one section. I'm going to have to skip it. Or, well, I'll ask you section one, but I'm going to have to go create another section so that it's not the same every episode.
Sure.
Bugger. All right, cool. Here we go. It's live. We'll do it live.
live.
Pick one, centaurs or mermaids?
Centaurs.
Sexually?
Yes.
Very good. What shoes are you wearing?
Energetically.
Psychically? As psychic well. Centaurs sexually?
That's how that all goes. Don't get one without
other. With ice cream and whipped cream and a cherry and... Harness on or no harness?
Oh, no harness.
Leather harness? Yep.
With the cock ring. Yeah.
You are a horny man, aren't you? Good for you.
I've got a leather butcher's apron.
Wow.
It's got a flap in the front.
Wow.
Nice. Right. Yeah, okay.
Cool. Are we going to put your contact details at the end or nah?
Probably not.
Okay, cool. Nah. Just know that, people, but don't try and find us.
I've got my Instagram profile's private. Feel free to DM me.
Okay, sure.
At Andy Shooten.
Oh, so we are going to reveal it. All right, there we go. Done. If you're into leather butcher aprons and you like the cut of Andy's jib, fire away. What shoes are you wearing?
Socks.
Okay. What color socks? What kind of socks?
They're called light feet.
Yep.
This is the geeky, ridiculous part of me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried about 20 different brands of socks and kept a spreadsheet on them, how often I laundered them and how long they lasted, and finally came down over 2 years and ended up with light feet socks and bought 30 pairs.
Wow. That's just efficiency. This is tech guys improving the world.
That decision has been made for a lifetime now. I don't need to even consider socks for another.
What if there's better ones now? How many brands did you compare?
About 20.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Is this socks that you've had this investigation with, or there are other things? What else is perfect? What else did you find the ultimate of?
The perfect sock. The perfect lube.
So what brand of sock? Light feet?
Yeah.
And what brand of lube?
Swiss Navy.
Swiss Navy. Okay. Yeah, because you're silicon, yes, but there's also a world of silicon plus water, right? I haven't bought a lot of lubes lately, and I actually just got a new toy, so I'd go with the water-based one again. But I also think water-based has its place, you know? If you're just having a quickie, like silicon's very involved, but...
It's good for quick cleanup.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Washes off underwater in the shower.
Yeah, it's so certainly easy. Better for home games.
Yes. Yeah. I only play home games, so I've actually come all the way back around to water base. But
because you don't want to have to get silicone lube on a wooden floor. That's scary.
There's a corner of my shower that may never be the same again. I actually need to attack it with some like proper soap and water. Yeah. So yeah, water's back on the menu. Thank you. Thank you for letting me answer that. Anything else? Have you found the ideal item of?
I think the sock one was the big one,
undertaking.
I've shifted my focus now to my work.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What do you usually order at Macca's?
Fillet of fish.
Gross.
And an Oreo flurry.
Wrong.
Nuggets, barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm listening.
Yeah, right,
what's the gayest thing about you?
The fact that I put my penis into men.
Well done. Straightest thing about you?
I don't know.
Does not compute.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't understand the question.
Fair enough. If I
had... probably when I go to the football and I'm sitting there by myself in a group of straight people.
Ah.
But then I feel more gay. So, yeah, no. I don't.
The aloneness at the game feels gay to you, but being at the game feels straight to you?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And the joy of being an outsider in that group is fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah. If I identified as an omnisexual uni being, would you accept me?
Always.
Thank you very much. Red apples or green?
Red.
Do you gamble?
Gambling is a tax for people who can't do math.
Ooh. Yeah, I agree.
So that's a no.
I agree, but it's still kind of fun, right? You know, the heart palpitations, you know, really get that, you know?
It's kind of weird. Like, I've spoken to people who gamble a lot because I just don't connect with it.
Right. What about a water slides? Sorry.
From my research says that it's the moment of uncertainty that's the fun bit.
Yep.
The winning or the losing is not the fun bit. The uncertainty is the fun bit. But I'm just reporting back what other people have taught me.
Yeah. Is there for water slides and say it costs $2 a ride, is that a tax for people who don't have enough fun in their life?
It's a tax for people who want to drink other people's urine when they get to the bottom of the slide.
Gross.
I don't know if that's a tax because you're opting into something that has an outcome that you're looking for.
Exactly. Like, that's the same with gambling.
When you're at the top of the water slide.
Yeah.
And you get on the water slide, you know what's going to happen. You're going to end up down the water slide and at the bottom.
Yeah, but it's the journey that counts, isn't it?
Yeah, always.
Didn't we learn anything in coaching?
No shade on people who gamble because I feel like I'm missing out on a large part of the human experience, but no, I don't gamble.
Right. Fair enough. Thank you. Good answer. Tight. Cereal, toast or none?
Eggs.
Eggs. All right.
Yeah.
I see you breaking my system here. Very rude.
Sorry.
But,
cereal, toast or...
No, eggs is fine. There's no rules. Come on now. Who's sexier, Bigfoot or a male Tinkerbell?
Male Tinkerbell.
Ooh, most people go with Bigfoot. And you're a horny man. Big time, is it an easy win for male Tinkerbell?
I think that it takes balls to be male Tinkerbell.
Having respect sex.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Admiration sex.
Yeah. I was a judge for the Drag Industry Variety Awards.
Oh.
And, like, it takes balls to do drag. Yeah. Like, endless respect for people who engage in that because it's hard fucking work.
Yes.
And so Tinkerbell, that's
you got a respect boner and now you just want to plow that confidence.
Fuck, yes.
The ball, you want to plow those balls.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Oi. What car do you drive?
BMW.
Okay. How many pairs of underwear do you own?
25.
20? Is that... I am expecting that to be literally true?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You're so... This so is incredibly same, actually, geeky.
Socks and undies.
Same thing. Same what thing undies did you land on?
Step one.
Oh, step one. But that's quite a new brand, right?
Yeah, all the others went in the bin. Thick thighs save lives.
Yeah.
And they're just the right thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've got a couple of pairs, actually. I like them quite a lot.
I got them all in blue because, you know.
Consistency. Less choices.
And then I kind of went crazy and got the rainbow color ones.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a wild guy. Like, look at me. I've got the...
Party in my pants. I'm so outgoing.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at me expressing myself.
And of course, they spend most of their time in the drawer.
Oh.
Sometimes, like, because I wear blue scrubs at work. And so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was the advice is always wear the same color underwear as you have pants in case the pants fail.
Oh, okay. But not you. Oh, but you do. So most of them are blue. So you wear blue pants and blue scrubs.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, for a crazy, like at Christmas time when I'm wearing the wild scrubs, then I'll wear the rainbow pants.
Right. Okay, cool.
Because I'm just, you know, uncontrollable.
Being a pure chaos.
Yeah, sure.
I've heard that about Muslim women as well, that they wear some, like, fancy, racy, awesome stuff underneath the veils and that.
All the Dior, the labels, all of it underneath, amazing.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Good for them. That's its own kind of form of drag in kind of an inside-out kind of way, isn't it?
Mm.
They're expressing themselves, but not showing it to anybody.
Yeah, but you know what you've got underneath. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Is there anything else you wish to tell us about your underwear?
No, they're good underwear.
Excellent. What happens when we die?
I recommend them.
Okay.
What happens when we die? The parts of the whatever makes us up goes back to be that we're part of the explosion continues.
But it's like in a time frame sense, your literal body will like decompose and become some soil and some air and some gas and some whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a long time until you're like a star or an explosion or anything.
But on a universal time scale, very, 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 very small.
Hmm. What about your consciousness? What happens to that? Is that within the matter that makes up you physically today, or?
I don't think my consciousness continues. I think that, I don't think so, but I don't know. Nobody knows, right?
No, Some people are convinced, but I wouldn't say anybody can prove it.
So I've been reading a bunch of stuff about reanimation of brain tissue.
Yeah.
So you can reanimate brain tissue.
Yep.
And you can make it, and you can train it to play Pong.
Wow.
To get the video game. And so then if you've declared somebody brain dead and then took their brain and made it into something
Pong
that
brain.
Played Pong.
Yep.
Or you gave it some other task to do.
Yep.
After you'd been declared brain dead. Like that.
It's just a new person.
I'm finding that a little bit disturbing.
Yeah. Oh, it is disturbing.
Yeah. Oh, that's because it is. Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yes. You are still, as far as we know, a regular human.
Yeah. It should be disturbing.
Consciousness, though. All right. I won't dig on it today, but I'm reading a book called The Case Against Reality, and it's a very rational, multi-scientific view of consciousness and our limitations in our ability to understand it, measure it, see where it comes from, where it's going, what it's doing. But
I'm glad
I like
you're reading
stuff.
It, right? Because I suggested it to you. Right?
God, how many is that now that you've suggested to me and I forgot it was you?
It's an amazing book.
So and many clients give me so many great books. Thank you.
The idea that you could experience, what would be our experience of an objective reality? Like, it's an amazing question.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That book twisted my head inside out.
I've danced with a bit of this stuff before, so I am pleasantly going back over some things, but I'm only a third of the way through, so I'll keep you posted.
Right, okay.
All right. Last question. Do you love me?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Everyone who's an ex-client always says yes. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense otherwise, would it?
Yeah, no.
All right. Thank you very much. I love you too. I love you, listener, and I want you to be uncomfortable. See that discomfort you feel when I say, I love you. I love you. I say that to my cats a lot as well. I hope they hear me.
I do. They'd feel the love.
Yeah, I think they do. Their purring indicates that they do. And then the slow blinking. I hope all the listeners are slow blinking right now.
Is the slow blink hate or love?
I think I heard it was love, but I've not looked into it.
Okay.
Oh, well. I'm certain that my cats love me. They express it very slowly and in micro bits, but, you know, the purring, the coming for cuddles, the tapping on the door, it all adds up.
Right.
There you have it, cats and dogs. As always, you can catch me, Ed Wilson, at edward@gaberhoodpodcast.com on email, at gaberhoodpodcast on Instagram. Please give us a follow and like our stuff, at Brown Bear Coaching and at A Gay Man Book. Take very good care of yourself, and I love you and leave you. Till next time. Everybody, do you like the sound of my voice? ASMR.